For the longest part of the day today, I didn't know what the Lord wanted for the service tonight. Couldn't get settled. Didn't know if I'd preach at all. May not preach very long. But then the Lord brought this scripture to my heart. I want to try my best to be mindful of Him and pray that it'll be a help and a blessing to you as we gather together in the house of the Lord tonight. Genesis chapter 7, when you found your place, if you're physically able, we'll stand together. Out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. Very familiar scripture that we'll read into your hearing tonight. Of course, everybody's very familiar with the story, the context in chapter number 6 about the earth being filled with violence, it repenting God that He had made man, then Noah finding grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Word of God coming to Noah about making an ark. And one of the most blessed verses, I think, that's ever recorded about Noah is in verse 22 of chapter 6. And it said, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And so now the time has come for the judgment of God to come, the flood that the Lord spoke to Noah about. And I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 11 of Genesis chapter number 7. "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the son of Noah, sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. They that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. And the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. 15 cubits upward did the waters prevail, and the mountains were covered. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained, and the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat. The waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I thought about Noah today. I probably have preached more on Noah in the last 2 years than I have in all the others put together. I think that we as the people of God ought to identify with Noah more and more as the days go by. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we're nearing those days today when wickedness is on every hand. The Bible said in the days of Noah that the thoughts of the imaginations of the heart of men were evil continually. There never was a time that man wasn't doing or dwelling on something evil. And it was a day when the truth was disregarded and neglected, and we're living in that day today. As Noah preached the same message that we're still preaching today, that judgment's coming and you better be ready. And yet the Bible said that they ate and drank, married and given in marriage, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. We're living in that day when the coming of the Lord, he said, would come as a thief in the night. That one would be at the work and two would be at work, one would be taken and the other left. Two grinding at the mill, one taken and the other left. Two in the bed, one taken and the other left. Just like it was in Noah's day, there was no time to get ready. The judgment of God came swiftly and without remedy, and it will again in these days when the Lord comes again. There's much types and pictures and applications of Noah to the church and the ark to the church and the salvation and all of that. And if the Lord wants me to, I'll deal a little with that. But I'm more interested in this storm that came in Noah's life. And the Lord began to touch my heart this evening. Like I said, the majority of the day I didn't know what to do, didn't know what to preach, didn't know whether I would, thought maybe we might just come in. But the longer the evening went, the more that this thought kept working in my heart. And I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes. I probably won't keep you long, but God has put it in my heart to preach tonight on a storm is coming. A storm is coming. Noah preached all his days at least 120 years, and his message was that a storm is coming. We're living in the days. If you're not ready, you better make ready. If the Holy Ghost is dealing with your heart, because a storm is coming. And the storm that's coming, if I'm just going to try to follow God, I feel like maybe I might preach to the church some at the end, but right now I want to say this storm that's coming that I'm talking about right now, the same storm that Noah preached about, was a storm that without the ark of safety, no one had hope to get out alive. The Bible said in the verses that I read in your hearing that all flesh died. In verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. Verse 23, every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground. Now there's a difference in just dying and being destroyed. And there's coming a day when the wrath of God in storm will fall in judgment upon mankind, and mankind won't just die and that'll be it, but there'll be eternal damnation and destruction if you're not safe in the ark of safety. A storm is coming. I wish the whole world, not because I'm preaching it, because I'm so feeble and insignificant and I can't do anything without God and I'm the least among any preacher and any pastor, but I wish the whole world for a few moments could tune in with us tonight and hear the warning that a storm is coming. Yes. For it is. Just because Noah preached for 119 years and nothing happened, it didn't change the fact that on the 100, and at least, we don't know for a fact, but we know at least that Noah preached 120 years. But 119 of them, the storm didn't come. But it didn't change the fact that on the 120th year, the storm came that Noah preached about. And we're living in days where they shun the preaching. We're living in the days that Peter talked about.
out when there's scoffers walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. In other words, they said, Grandpa said it, and it didn't happen. Mom and Daddy said it, and it didn't happen. He ain't come yet. I'm telling you, he ain't yet, but it didn't change the fact that he is coming.
Storm's coming. And when it came, it's too late to make ready then. The judgment of God came all at once. The Bible said Jesus himself, as it has been said in the last couple services in Sunday school this morning and previous service, all the scripture of God's imparted everything in here, but there's special emphasis placed on them words in the red letters, and this is the words of Jesus. He said they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Didn't we get in our mind, you know, and I preached it before, and I feel like I was doing a discredit to the Word of God, and I'm not going to fall out with anybody that may have preached it that way, but I preached and heard others say that the rains began to fall, and it started puddling up around their ankles and their feet and in their knees, but the Bible said that the windows of heaven were opened, and it didn't just rain, but the fountains of the deep, every body of water and water under the earth that we drill down and tap into, all of them were broken up to allow what was in them to spew onto the earth. There was no time to get right. I don't believe there was any knocking to get on the ark. I believe it was judgment and death and destruction just like that. God's judgment came, and that without remedy once it came. But oh, here we are tonight, as it was in the days of Noah. And there's a lot of doom and gloom that surrounds that phrase. But there's some grace in the middle of it all. That Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And so have we, and others can. As it was in the days of Noah, the storm hasn't come yet. The waters haven't poured on yet. The judgment of God hasn't been released yet. So the ark is still standing open. The door has not been shut, and the storm's coming, and if you're not ready, it's time to get on board. Because the storm is coming. Oh, I thought as I read today that I'd just come and preach to the church, but I feel an urgency and a push in my heart that if you're not ready to meet God tonight, the Lord wants me to tell you the storm's coming. And it ain't just a storm, it's the storm of all storms. When the wrath of God will be poured out without measure, that no man can ever endure the wrath of God. Do you understand that Christ the God-man is the only one that endured the wrath of God and came out alive on the other side? There'll be no man, woman, boy, or girl that'll stand with any excuse to endure the wrath of God or any ability. The storm will come, and you're either in and ready or you're out and you'll be swept away. Amen, brother. It's the only choices. Everybody in this day that we're living in want to gray the areas and complicate things. The reality of it is it's pretty simple. You're either on board or you're not. You either got your place nestled in the ark. That's what the scripture said, that he prepared rooms. That's where we get our word nest, and there's a nest for you where God will settle you in safely and secure you and hover over you. And as the writer said, he'll keep you safe till the storm passes by. You're either in the ark in your place or you're on the outside and you're awaiting destruction. You say, well, I'm not in, but I don't want to be judged and damned and destroyed. Well, there ain't but one way to escape it, and that's to flee to the ark of safety.
All through the scriptures, there's types and pictures of salvation, and they're all singular. There's not any other way. If there was a way made, an escape plan, it was one way. There was one ark. There was only cities of refuge, and that's the only place that you could go to escape the avenger of blood. There was but blood to be put on the door. There is no other way. And if you're not ready, you better get ready. Times are running out.
Right.
Storms are coming. It's a brewing on the horizon of time, I'm afraid. And it's a coming. Many are blind and deaf to the warnings. Many in Noah's day turned a deaf ear. As they woke, I've often tried to think and picture and imagine about those that lived close by Noah and what he was doing. I thought about him waking in the mornings to the sounds of the hammers and criticizing and critiquing this old man and his three boys that were doing a work that they didn't understand. As their children and grandchildren asked questions, they mocked and ridiculed, not knowing that the plan of God was being made. And without that, there would be no salvation. I'm telling you, there's a day yonder on a hill called Calvary where they walked by and wagged their heads, which was a sign of ridicule and mockery. They mocked him and said, you were the Son of God. You saved others yourself, you can't save. You said you'd build the temple in 3 days. Come down from the cross. They that were hung with him, one railed and said, save thyself and us. And they mocked him, they spit in his face. They crowned him with thorns, put on a purple robe, smote him with a reed, bowed the knee before him, cast lots for his vesture, parted his garments among them. And the Bible said, sat down to watch him die. But in the midst of all their confusion, in the midst of all their ridicule, in the midst of all their poking fun, there was a way being made to escape wrath and damnation of the judgment that was to come. I wonder that long dark night in Egypt, in the midst of the land of Egypt, when all the plagues up until that point were gone and over, and there was such a hatred for the Israelites because of what had been done to the Egyptian people. And in the midst of the city, there's a stir, and there's the bleating of the sheep as the lambs are taken and slain, and the people probably ridiculed and made fun and said, what are you doing now? What's your God going to do now? But they didn't understand that with every lamb that was slain and its blood caught in a basin and the hyssop dipped in and placed on the lintel and the side post of the door, the way was being made to escape the wrath to come. And here we are in 2021 with the world walking on in confusion and chaos and ridicule the church in this so-called bloody way. While we preach the truth that there is but one way to get in, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they mock and they ridicule and they go on about their deeds, their contributions, the ways they think that seem to them be right. And while they mock and make fun, the reality is the message is being preached about the one and only way to escape the storm that's coming. And as it was in Noah's day, in the midst of all the ridicule and all the making fun, there's going to be a little crowd that's on board the ark, and they'll survive and make it through. And I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad to be on board the ark. This storm that's coming is going to be the roughest storm that's ever been. But I'm glad, as the old writer said, and I thought just now as the Lord brought it to my mind about old Brother Ken. I've heard him sing the song a few times, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I'm glad when the storm of the wrath of God falls. I'm glad for chapter number 8 and verse number 1 that said, and God remembered Noah. I'm glad we'll not just be an afterthought in the mind of God. The church never has been nor ever will be just a bythought in the mind of God. But everything He's ever done is for the church. The Bible said He loved the church and gave Himself for the church. He's made a way for the church. And when the wrath of God falls, I'm glad we'll not be forgotten.
Amen.
But He will spare us from the judgment that is to come. I want to say tonight, and as far as I know, I think I'm done. I want to say again, the storm is coming. The warning was given to Noah. He said, Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. He said, I'll destroy man whom I have created. And the Bible said that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Not because of something Noah did. Not because of who Noah was. Not because Noah was some exemplary person with some distinguished degree or theology or pedigree, but because God is rich in mercy, He looked down and found grace in the eyes of God.
Right.
And here we are tonight. If you're saved, you're saved not because of who you are, not because of what you had to offer, not because of what type of person you were, but because you found grace in the eyes of the Lord and He made a way to escape the wrath to come. I'm glad to read that Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives went in the ark, and the Bible said, and the Lord shut them in. I'm glad what God shuts no man can open. I'm not in the ark based on my own merit, and I'm not staying based on what I can or cannot do. I'm glad He put me in the ark forever to stay. And if you're here tonight and you're not in, it's not because you was once in and now you're not. It's because you've never been in. It doesn't matter what kind of religion you hold. It doesn't matter what kind of profession you've given. It doesn't matter your home life, your experience, who your parents were, or who they weren't, or whether you had a good upbringing or whether you didn't, whether you've done this or whether you've done that. None of that matters. All that matters is, are you in or are you out? The storm is coming. I believe that time is swiftly drawing to a close. Noah labored and worked and prepared and followed the orders and the blueprints of God. And that's what the church has been trying to do. And Noah didn't know when the end was coming. Noah had no idea. All Noah knew was the call from God came one blessed day to get in the ark. I'm telling you, I don't know when the end's coming, but it's swiftly approaching. I don't know when the storm, when the first clap of thunder will roll and the flash of lightning will flash, but I know it's soon coming, and it's a brewing far distantly on the horizon. It's a rolling in on us swiftly. And I'm telling you, the storm's coming, and it's time to get on board. As we stand all over the house tonight, Brother Tim, you come. I want you to